He's still unconscious, but I put him in the bed in his room. Harding is on his way over.
Harding, she said. What about the others?
We haven't found the others yet, Dr. Sattler, Muldoon said. He was speaking slowly now.
Oh, my God.
But we think that Dr. Grant and the children are still alive. We think they went into the park, Dr. Sattler.
Went into the park?
We think so. Meanwhile, Malcolm needs help. I've called Harding.
Shouldn't you call a doctor?
There's no doctor on the island. Harding's the best we have.
But surely you can call for a doctor, she said.
No, Muldoon shook his head. Phone lines are down. We can't call out. He shifted the package in his arm.
What's that? She said.
Nothing. Just go to Malcolm's room and help Harding, if you will. And Muldoon was gone.
She sat on her bed, shocked. Ellie Sattler was not a woman disposed to unnecessary panic, and she had known Grant to get out of dangerous situations before. Once he'd been lost in the Badlands for 4 days, when a cliff gave way beneath him, and his truck fell 100 feet into a ravine. Grant's right leg was broken. He had no water. But he had walked back on a broken leg. On the other hand, the kids. She shook her head, pushing the thought away. The kids were probably with Grant. And if Grant was out in the park, well, what better person to get them safely through Jurassic Park than a dinosaur expert? In the park.
I'm tired, Lex said. Carry me, Dr. Grant.
You're too big to carry, Tim said.
But I'm tired, she said.
Okay, Lex, Grant said, picking her up. Oof, you're heavy. It was almost 9 p.m. The full moon was blurred by drifting mist, and their blunted shadows led them across an open field toward dark woods beyond. Grant was lost in thought, trying to decide where he was. Since they had originally crossed over the fence that the Tyrannosaur had battered down, Grant was reasonably sure they were now somewhere in the Tyrannosaur paddock, which was a place he did not want to be. In his mind, he kept seeing the computer tracing of the Tyrannosaur's home range, the tight squiggle of lines that traced his movements within a small area. He and the kids were in that area now. But Grant also remembered that the Tyrannosaurs were isolated from all the other animals, which meant that they would know they had left the paddock when they crossed a barrier, a fence, or a moat, or both. He had seen no barriers so far. The girl put her head on his shoulder and twirled her hair in her fingers. Soon she was snoring. Tim trudged alongside Grant.
Are you holding up, Tim?
Okay, he said, but I think we might be in the Tyrannosaur area.
I'm pretty sure we are. I hope we get out soon.
You going to go into the woods? Tim said. As they came closer, the woods seemed dark and forbidding.
Yes, Grant said. I think we can navigate by the numbers on the motion sensors. The motion sensors were green boxes set about 4 feet off the ground. Some were freestanding, most were attached to trees. None of them were working because apparently the power was still off. Each sensor box had a glass lens mounted in the center and a painted code number beneath that. Up ahead, in the mist-streaked moonlight, Grant could see a box marked T-S-04. They entered the forest. Huge trees loomed on all sides. In the moonlight, a low mist clung to the ground, curling around the roots of the trees. It was beautiful, but it made walking treacherous. And Grant was watching the sensors. They seemed to be numbered in descending order. He passed T-S-03 and T-S-03.